He is risen. He is risen indeed. Good morning. I'm Doug Fakima, pastor of the Anacortes Christian Reformed Church, and it is my privilege to welcome you to our Resurrection Sunday morning worship and invite you to join my message this Sunday morning from Luke chapter 24. I love the way that Spurgeon describes resurrection in his sermon on 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. This is my gospel. This is an encouragement to his protege, Timothy, who is a young pastor. And Paul writes to Timothy, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will be able, who will be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And then remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, the gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal, but God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." My prayer this morning, as we turn to resurrection, is that the elect listening, those who know it and those who don't, will find salvation in Christ Jesus as we consider resurrection this morning. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24. We're in Luke's gospel this morning, continuing as we have through Lent, and even we'll be continuing in Luke's gospel until we get to Pentecost at the end of May. Luke chapter 24. On the very first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. And when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they, that is the apostles, did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Luke's resurrection story to the church in the first century, the Holy Spirit's resurrection story to the church in the 21st century today. Father, help us remember today Jesus' words. Help us to find the resurrected Jesus as we gather around Luke's gospel this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You'll notice on my outline, if you have it in front of you, it's available at anacortescrc.org. I have a picture of three of us standing before an empty tomb in just outside the old city walls of Jerusalem. It's me and my wife and my Aunt Marilyn, who once again makes a sermon note picture, second week in a row for her. Good job, Aunt Marilyn. We're standing in front of the Garden Tomb, and it's a possible site of Jesus' death and resurrection. By no means a certain thing, but it's a beautiful place where I have had privilege on several occasions to go and reflect on Jesus' death and resurrection. Now, you'll notice we're smiling. It's not just because it's a beautiful day in Jerusalem. In the text, the women were perplexed and worried and fearful. The disciples were disbelieving and even laughing at them and wondering. And yet we are smiling. Why? Well, the answer is simple. The three of us know something they didn't know at the beginning of this story. We know the tomb is empty. What were the women expecting as they left that resurrection Sunday morning, the first day of the week, as Shabbat had closed the night before and they had begun again the job of gathering the spices to finish the embalming of the body of their Lord in the tomb? Just a note on the text itself. This begins a new chapter in Luke's gospel. However, I don't believe the chapter break is appropriate here. In fact, I think we should go back to verse 55 of the previous chapter and read through as if there were no chapter break here. The woman who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb where his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandments. But on the first day of the week, no pause. This is simply the women doing what the women believed they were supposed to do. Gathering spices and perfumes, and now going to the tomb. However, what did they expect to find? They expected to find a stone in the way. They expected to find a Roman guard. They expected to find the signs of crucifixion and the signs of the chaos of that week. Later on, we find out that they expected to find someone who had stolen Jesus' body. We know that from Mary's encounter with Jesus in John's gospel. The evidence isn't right for someone to have stolen or taken the body. It wouldn't explain the stone or the soldiers or the grave cloths being folded neatly where the body had laid. Somebody who was taking the body would not have spent the time to unwrap it. They would have just picked up the body and ran off. They expected to find the signs of chaos, but they found instead a glimpse into a new creation order. They found the first hint of resurrection. That's why Charles Spurgeon defines resurrection this way. This is the doctrine of resurrection. We do not believe, at least I do not, Spurgeon adds, that law has been rudely violated in one extraordinary and unparalleled episode. We believe that a universal law of life, overmastering death, always superior to it, has had once a visible witness. Spurgeon is saying that resurrection didn't violate the laws of nature nearly as much as it revealed a deeper law, what C.S. Lewis in that beautiful scene at the end of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe called a deeper magic of which the witch did not know, but which would be revealed when Aslan died on the stone table. A deeper magic, a prior order in which immortality and resurrection were the order of the day. They saw that break in the same way sometimes the prophets got to see the heavens open and peek into heavens. Think Isaiah chapter 6. They got to see that the heaven open and two angels there revealing the deeper order, the prior order where death has not yet entered. Why do you seek the living, those who are now a part of that new order, among the dead, those of us who are left living in the order of the fall, the order of death? One problem, they might have seen that new order. They might have glimpsed its reality. But the disciples were still stuck. They were stuck in that old order, trapped there by the circumstances of crucifixion and Roman guard and the vengeance of the religious leaders of the day. They were stuck there. The text says they did not believe the women. It's a very strong word, a pistuo. Better they refused to believe the women, because the women's words seemed to them like nonsense. That word nonsense is a technical Greek medical word which refers to the delirium of a severe fever. That kind of craziness is what they thought was coming from the women. Something that belonged to a different order. They thought the women were crazy. The women were just living in a different reality. What was true in God's reality. This disbelief, though, I do not think is a loss of salvation. The disciples had been followers of Jesus for 3 years. Nearly as much as it is a loss of relationship. And what the disciples needed was not to be saved again. What the disciples needed was to be restored. And nobody was that more true than in Peter, who had denied his Lord, wept bitterly, and now Peter's the one who gets up. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Restoration for Peter was because it is a relational thing and not a salvation thing. Restoration was progressive and began in small steps. Now, you might say it began even before the crucifixion, when Jesus in the upper room had said, "Peter, I'm praying specifically for you that your faith would not fail." But it began here with a simple step, as Peter jumps up and runs to the tomb. Peter's restoration started when what a beautiful word, he got up. What's interesting is that's the same word that the angels had used earlier to describe Jesus. "The Son of Man," they said, "must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Anastasis, to be lifted up or to be lifted again. It's the word resurrection, and it's the same word that describes Peter's getting up. He resurrected. Spurgeon, in his sermon on resuscitation of Lazarus in John chapter 11, describes every moment of salvation as a kind of resurrection, and that's exactly what Peter experienced here as he participated just a little bit in Jesus' resurrection. He got up and he ran to the tomb, and bending over and seeing the strips of linen, he wondered to himself. In John's gospel, it says that this was the point at which belief started for Peter. Belief that continued with Peter being the first one to whom Jesus appeared, the first disciple to whom Jesus appeared. It mentions that in the epistles, as well as later on in Acts 24. As Peter jumps out of the boat in John 21 and swims to the shore to share fish with his Lord and Savior, his progressive steps of restoration continue. As Peter has his "feed my sheep" conversation with Jesus, one more restoration step, until Peter becomes the leader of the New Testament church at Pentecost and stands up and said, resurrection happened. Peter's restoration started when he got up. And the first of his steps was a little picture of resurrection for Peter. What are the keys to moving from disbelief to belief as we think about resurrection? I love what the angels said. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. Remember how he told you. They remembered his words. A first step to from disbelief to belief this Resurrection Sunday would be to simply rededicate ourselves to Jesus' words. That's why I've chosen for the next 8 weeks from now until Pentecost to follow Jesus' words through the end of Luke's gospel. And as Jesus takes us back to the law and the prophets and the Psalms to show us the Old Testament picture, we'll be rededicating ourselves to Jesus' words this year. But there's another step here, and that's Peter's running. I have a rule for my groups in Israel. It's not a rule I made up. It's in fact a rule that has been part of my Fakima experience since I was very young, and my girls grew up with this rule as well. The rule is this: if we're ever out on a walk or on a tour or on a trip and you get lost, I'm trying to hear, wait for one of my girls or somebody who's been on a trip with me to say this, go back to the last place you remember being with me and I'll be there waiting for you. Peter, when he desperately needed to take the first steps of going from disbelief to belief, of experiencing restoration with his Lord, ran back to the last place he remembered seeing Jesus. Because the text says Peter was one of those who stood at a distance when Joseph and Nicodemus took Jesus' body off the cross, and they washed and then wrapped the body, and in the short time they had before the Sabbath started, laid it in the empty tomb. And it was there that Peter ran. The prodigal son knew this rule. When it was time for him to be reconciled with his father, he ran back to the last place he saw his dad, the front steps where his dad would have watched him walk away those months or years earlier. Peter knew that story. He knew the rule. When you're lost, run back. And you know what? Jesus was there waiting for him. Because Luke 24 is clear that Jesus appeared to Peter before he appeared to the full 11. And Peter's process, small step after small step, of being restored to his Savior, his Lord, had begun. And my prayer for us this Resurrection Sunday is that we begin moving again from the disbelief for joy of the disciples to the kind of confidence in resurrection that Peter held for the rest of his life. Father, thank you for the opportunity again to remember the resurrection. And Father, we pray for the disbelief to belief journey. that Peter had for each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.